Thanks, Andrew. If you guys had Facebook, you would have seen yesterday the Manchester United supporters out in full force. And so when I saw some guy, you know, we saw, of course, we've got one of the biggest Manchester United supporters in Janine and Donovan and their whole family. They love Manchester United, which is a good thing. It's good to support something. You support a football team, a netball team. It's just good to be a supporter because you rally behind a team. And you see, when you support something, you then become passionate about that thing that you support. And you learn what it's like to win, the emotions that you learn as being part of something bigger than yourself. And so football team, if you're part of the football team, when your team wins, it's as if you're the one who scored the goal. And I remember a few weeks ago, I was in Zimbabwe. No, not a few weeks ago, but 2 months ago. And this was the last day of the English Premier League. And our team, Manchester City, needed to win. And I recall we had some Manchester City supporters and Liverpool supporters. And so Liverpool scored the goal. And I thought, oh, our team has lost. And I was not happy. And I was just quiet. Our team went one goal down. So more misery. And these guys, you know, they were rubbing it in your face. Eventually, our team scored one, scored two. And then eventually they scored three. I remember I was at my friend's house. I picked up his dog and I just started jumping, you know, for joy. And that's what being part of something bigger than yourself does. You get to experience the emotion. Even being out of foot, my father used to take me and my uncles to watch soccer matches in Zimbabwe. When your team scores, I was hugging people I never knew because you're just something bigger than yourself. And that, I think, it's important. Now, of course, if you're not supportive of a team, that's okay. But we know that we are part of God's team. And whenever somebody gives their life to God, we need to actually express the joy of what that is like. That this is actually a very good thing that somebody is coming to join this team. The good thing about Jesus' team is that it never loses. And so a promise can change your life. A promise can change your life. Just repeat after me. A promise can change your life. And we spoke this morning in Fremantle about a situation where this is how we know that a promise can change your life. A man comes and proposes to marry a woman next year and says, baby, you know what? I'm going to marry you this time next year. And so the lady is very happy. And as a sign of his intentions, normally you give them a ring. And so he gives them a very expensive diamond ring that she puts on her finger. And guess what she's doing tomorrow when she gets to work? She's showing everybody what's on her finger. Now, then she goes out for lunch tomorrow. And just even during the course of the year, and other men approach her and say, you are such a beautiful woman. I would love to get to know you better, and I would love to marry you. And guess what does this woman say? I'm sorry, I'm engaged to marry somebody else. So she turns all these other people away. Now, even though she's not married, she acts like she's married. And so you can see the promise that this man has given her has changed her life. It would be of no surprise to the man when 2 weeks before the wedding, he says to this lady, I don't want to marry you anymore. And so the lady pulls out a gun and wants to shoot him because she says, you have wasted my life. I have turned other men away because of the promise that you have given me. Now, God gives us promises. God gave a promise that he was going to send his Holy Spirit for us. In John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17, it says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or helper who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it is not looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. In John 14, 25 to 26, it says, I am telling you these things now while I'm still with you, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. And it's quite important we begin to see what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to be like in our lives. John 16, verse 5 to 11, it says, and now I'm going away back, and this is the Lord Jesus talking to the disciples, to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking, where am I going? And the disciples were very unhappy that Jesus was going back to God because they were like, you're now leaving us alone. What is going to happen to us? And so, and he says, in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate or the Holy Spirit won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. In another translation, it says, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. It is to your advantage. This is what the Lord is saying to us this morning. Let's pray. The title of my message this morning is The Holy Spirit, My Advantage. The Holy Spirit is my advantage. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, and I just pray for all of us, Lord God, regardless of our age, regardless of how we came in here, Father, you love each and every one of us. And Lord, you have given us this ministry of the Holy Spirit that is available to us. And Lord, I pray that, Father, we would appropriate, we would take for ourselves everything that the Holy Spirit has available for us. And Lord, we just pray and just bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so the question we're asking this morning is that who is the Holy Spirit? Before we begin to understand what the ministry of the Spirit is like, we have to ask ourselves, who is the Holy Spirit? There is only one God. We know that there's one God with three distinct persons, each with unique roles, that make up the Trinity. We have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of them are fully God. And so the Holy Spirit is not just an ordinary member. He's a full member of the Trinity. He's not a gopher. He's not the one that they just say, look, because I'm going away, I'm not coming, but I'll just send one of my assistants. He is fully God that has come. He is God Almighty himself, and is no less God in any way. These are some scriptures that reflect the existence of the Trinity. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And we know Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is God, is a full member of the Godhead. So three, one God, three distinct persons. Some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, he has the characteristics of God and is equally, because we know that God the Father is omnipotent, which has unlimited power and authority. He's omniscient, he's all-knowing, and he's omnipresent, which is everywhere present at the same time. If we just turn quickly to Isaiah, I'll turn there. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 13 to 14, it says, who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? And so the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force, is not an impersonal force. He's a spiritual being as opposed to being a human being. He communicates. We know that he's a person because he communicates. John 16, verse 13. We'll turn to there. John 16, 13. Says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. And so this is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit, is that he communicates. He has emotions. In Isaiah 63, verse 10, it says, but they grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, that's an emotion. When you grieve, that's an emotion. The Holy Spirit is a person because he can be grieved. And, of course, the Holy Spirit can be tested, like Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They tested the Holy Spirit, and we know the consequences that came from them when they did that. We know that the Holy Spirit, the function of the Spirit is that he was involved in creation right from the beginning. In Genesis, it says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the earth. And so there it is that the Spirit of God was there, right at the beginning. So this is showing us that he is part, he's just a distinct person of the Trinity. He inspired the written word of God. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong and teaches us to do what is right. That's 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. You don't have to turn there. And so Jesus sends the Spirit in our lives to make a permanent home in our hearts. And so we know that back in the Old Testament days that God resided in the temple. So wherever the temple was, it used to be in a tent. And so God would come and pitch up in the tent. But now, when Christ came and died for us, he lives within each and every one of us. This is why it says it's a body of believers. Each and every, the church is not the building. We meet in the building, but the church is actually made up of the people, because God has come and dwelt within each and every one of us. Amen? And an interesting thing about that scripture in John chapter 14, where the Lord Jesus says that, I will send another helper. Now, that phrase, another helper, contains powerful revelations of the Holy Spirit and the ministry in our lives. And so there are two Greek words which have similar meanings and are often both translated as another. So the first one is the word allos. Now this word speaks of another one, but of the same kind, same sort or same kind. Then we've got another word to represent another called heteros, which is, it speaks of another of a different sort. So that is where we get the word heterosexual. Same kind, humans, but of a different kind, heterosexual. So if I have a chair and I change it for another chair, I can either get exactly the same, although it is still another chair, it is one of the same kind, or I can get another chair that is completely different. This is what I'm trying to express here. So the word that is used in John 14 refers to when Jesus says, I will send somebody that is the same as me, but perhaps is in a different form. And he's talking here of the Holy Spirit saying, he's of equal stature to me, and I am sending him to you. So Jesus is saying to, as he was saying to the disciples, that he'll be to you what I have been to. The Holy Spirit will be to the disciples what Jesus was in person to the disciples. So whatever Jesus was doing in bodily form, helping the disciples with questions, with, you know, if they had any queries, the Lord Jesus would explain those things. This is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And so he's saying that the disciples were not going to lose out because Jesus was going away. Because Jesus was no longer going to be here, the disciples were not going to be worse off. They were going to have the Spirit within them, available. When he was on earth, Jesus was restricted by his body. So if Jesus was, if I sort of like, let's just say Pastor Charlie was Jesus, if Jesus was here in Kwinana, Jesus cannot be in Fremantle. He's physically restricted to being in Fremantle. But now when he sends the Spirit, the Spirit can be in all believers all the time. And so he's there in Zimbabwe, he's in South Africa, he's in New Zealand, he's here in Australia, he's in Western Australia, he's in Sydney, he's in Central Australia, he's everywhere, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Is that not a good thing? Because otherwise all of us would be crying, Jesus, when are you going to be coming to Kwinana? But we know that the Holy Spirit is there and available for us. The other word we said was another helper. And so the helper here is showing us that there is an expansion to the ministry of Jesus' ministry in our lives. And the Greek word translated helper means parakletos. And parakletos is a Greek word, that's the word translated helper. And it means somebody who's called to come alongside you, to plead your case on behalf of somebody else. That is why you and I, when maybe perhaps we have done something wrong, you haven't paid your fine and they say you're coming to court. And so we need a lawyer to represent us. The lawyer knows more about the law than we do. So we need somebody that's going to come alongside us and represent us in front of the judge. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Lawyers, you pay money because somehow they've gone to school, they've studied, they know more about the law than we do. So we rely on them to represent us. This is what the Holy Spirit does on our behalf. He comes, we rely on him so that he intercedes on our behalf to God. Now, I wonder how many of us take advantage of what the Holy Spirit is like in our lives. How many of us partner? I wonder, do we partner with what the Holy Spirit is doing, or do we try and do everything by ourselves, which means do I just stand in front of the judge by myself and I just hope that I'm going to do it? What do you think my chance of success would be to fight my own case? It's going to be very slim. I might do it. I mean, I might read up. But there are people that know more about the law than I do that are able to defend me. This is what the Holy Spirit does. So when you are in trouble, when you feel depressed, the Holy Spirit is going to come alongside you and bring you comfort because he's our comforter. When you don't know what to do, you have to make a decision about something, the Holy Spirit comes and helps you with the decisions that you need to make. Yeah. I really wonder how many of us take advantage of what's available to us, yeah, of this ministry of the Holy Spirit, that in your business or at your work, do you take advantage of the Spirit when you don't know how to solve stuff? Do you know that you can ask the Holy Spirit, you say, Holy Spirit, can you help me with this? Even if it's at school, can you help me understand? He can do that for you. He will give you solutions to things that you may not have gone to school for stuff, but if you ask the Holy Spirit, can you help me? He's absolutely going to do that for you. And so this is how the Holy Spirit can help us. He'll come in and convince us of sin in our lives and help us with mature spiritually. And so we begin to grow. We rely more on the Spirit. He testifies about Jesus teaching us. He gives specific instructions. Remember the time when it was said in the book of Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 3 or 4, when the disciples were praying and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate for me Barnabas and Silas for the work of the ministry that I have for them," giving specific instructions. So this is what he can do in our lives when we seek, when we want direction for things, we rely on the Holy Spirit. When we need intervention in our lives, we can rely on the Holy Spirit. And most importantly, he intercedes on our behalf. Sometimes we are faced with situations that we don't know how we're going to solve these problems. It's very important that we rely on the Spirit. There's a scripture in Romans that talks about sometimes we don't know how to pray, but we pray in the Spirit with utterances that we do not understand, but God understands. And so here's the intercession of the Holy Spirit pleading to God on our behalf. But God understands what he's saying. And then all of a sudden we find deliverance coming on in our lives. About maybe seven years ago, 2015, I went to work. We were living in Port Hedland, and I had the opportunity to go do a different set of work in Carnarvon. And so I flew to Perth, and then I flew to Carnarvon. And I was there. I was going to be there for a period of 3 weeks. And the first week I was there by myself. And then eventually there was an opportunity that my family said, "Oh, look, we can drive down from Port Hedland to Carnarvon to come and see you." Which I thought, "Oh, no, that's very nice." And so they came over on the weekend. And so because I had been away from, you know, I'd been away from my wife for 6 or 7 days, I was very happy to see her. And of course, I was still happy to see everybody else, but I was more happy to see my wife. So what then happened was that everybody retires to their rooms. And so I'm with my wife in the bedroom. And what happened is that my young daughter at the time, I had three kids, Butsepo was the youngest, she became very restless and kept saying to her grandmother, "I want to go where mom and dad is." And, you know, the grandmother tried to restrict her, but she couldn't. So she came and knocked on the door. And, of course, you know, very frustrated. So, I was very ticked off. She comes in, and we're like, "What's the problem?" And she just didn't know. She was just unsettled. And so said, "Oh, it's okay. You can go back." She goes back a second time. And even though the grandmother tried to restrict her from coming, she was still restless. She came a second time. And then she came a third time. And it's only after the third time she came, I said, "This is quite out of character for this young girl. Something is not right." And somehow we were just able to pick up that, you know, something wasn't right. And I said to my wife, "Let's just pray." And so we began to pray. We prayed, you know, we were just praying, you know, Psalm 91, covering everybody in the Spirit. "Lord, protect this one. No weapon formed against me shall prosper." And so we were just doing everything we could to pray. And eventually, we started to pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit. And we did that. I'm not going to suggest we did it for a very long time. All I'm saying is that we prayed. But we were so confused as to what was really going on. Anyway, we left it, went to sleep. Then the next day, we heard that someone we know had attempted to commit suicide. Now, were those two things related? Perhaps. Maybe they were. But I know that I would rather have prayed than not prayed. And I wonder how many of you have ever had just a feeling to pray. For some unknown reason, you just felt that I have to pray. You didn't understand what it is, but you felt a need. Or you could have been woken up in the middle of the night and you're wondering, "Why am I up? I'm usually not up at 3:33 in the morning." And sometimes you end up going back to sleep because you think, "Oh, this is weird." And then you fall back to sleep, and it may happen another time and another time. Perhaps it is the Lord trying to say something or trying to ask of you to do something. If you recall, in the book of Samuel, when Samuel was, he was sleeping, and then he heard the word Samuel, Samuel. And then he goes to the priest, Eli, thinking it is the priest that was calling him. And Eli said, nah, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. It happened a second time. And then possibly the third time, the priest recognized that, okay, I think it must be God that is trying to speak to this young boy. And eventually he says to him, when you hear that voice again, say, here I am, Lord. And it just as it happened, he heard the words again, and he repeated, here I am, Lord. And God was able to give him some instruction. And remember that the time when Samuel heard that voice, the word of God was scarce at that time. It hadn't been spoken for a very long time. Now, what I'm saying to us is that we have this ministry that is available to us. Understand that when the disciples were now very frustrated, they were scared as to what is going to happen to us now that Jesus is gone. They thought that their future was going to be very bleak. And so, Jesus assures them that, guys, it is to your advantage that I leave earth and I go, because I'm going to send you the helper, and that the Holy Spirit is enough. And so if I can have Noctula back on, just on the keys, it says, and as we bring this to a close, if we can all stand this morning, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, this is Jesus, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And Jesus replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know. And this is the clincher here. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here Jesus is saying that the task that is before you is a very difficult task. And so I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and he's going to give you power so you can achieve the mission of God in your life. And I don't know about you, that each and every one of us has been called to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot do the things that God wants in your lives by yourself. We have available to us the Holy Spirit. And what I'm asking for each and every one of us is, if only we could begin to rely and just depend more on the Holy Spirit that is available to us, we will begin to see the things just unfold in our lives, whether that is in your family, in your business, at your place of work, where there is confusion in your life. If we all rely more on what is available to us, God will do amazing things in our lives. We are not meant to do this life by ourselves. We can do this life with the Holy Spirit. And the word that I have for us today is to appropriate. And normally this is, you know, the word appropriate is when you take somebody else's stuff without permission. I've appropriated Charlie's phone for my personal use. But here we're saying that let's take advantage of this gift, of this promise of the Holy Spirit that has been given for our own personal use, where we begin to rely on him more. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That, Lord, he is our advocate. that he intercedes on our behalf. He leads us into all truth. He's our comforter and he's our friend. We thank you, Lord God, for the special ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that, Father, we would appropriate more of him. We would appropriate more of what is available to us through your Spirit. And I would ask this morning that you would fill us anew with your Spirit. And just with every eye closed, and I just ask this morning that let's just, if you just raise your hands to the Lord with your palms lifted up towards heaven. Lord, I just pray this morning that you would touch us anew, that you would fall afresh on us, that you would fill us with more of your Spirit that is available to us this morning. That, Lord, we are not meant to do this life alone, but with the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we pray that we would become more aware of your presence in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would touch us. That, Lord, the ministry of the Holy Spirit would begin to grow in our lives. Our reliance and dependency on the Spirit would begin to increase. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters this morning, that regardless of age, regardless of station, Father, that we have the powerful ministry of the Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that, Father, we would take on more of what is available to us. We would use everything that you have given to us, and that we would begin to see victory in our life as we partner with the Holy Spirit. As we confess to the Holy Spirit the things that we struggle with, we will see the Holy Spirit give us strength to overcome those things, to bring victory into our lives. And so, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in the wonderful and mighty name of your Son, Jesus. We pray this morning, and everybody says, amen. Amen. And so, church, if you need prayer, if you just want a touch of God, I know we did it before, but if you want just for us to pray for you for more of an infilling of the Holy Spirit, please come to the front. But have a wonderful week, and we'll see you this time next week.